Where do we find Jesus in the book of Job? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Job in 4 Not So Easy Steps. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ross Johnson has written our Wittenberg Trail feature. It's titled Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret, the free online Issues Etc. journal. One of the most comforting, relieving teachings of Holy Scripture is the Christian teaching of vocation. That is, you don't have to go out and change the world. You don't have to worry about pleasing God with your good works. God has all the good works He needs, and He has prepared yours beforehand that you should walk in them. Your good works are not for you, not for God, but for your neighbor. And this calling of God is not in the big things that, like I said before, change the world, but more often than not, in the little things, the unnoticed things, even the things done by little children. The Issues Etc. book of the month for February is called How Can I Help God's Calling for Kids? It's a children's book. I highly recommend it for you and for your family. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. And you can also call Concordia Publishing House and order How Can I Help God's Calling for Kids? A great gift for kids or for grandkids, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The best reporting, the best journalism is always done on the ground, in the grassroots, with particular people who are actually in the midst of the story. And we've had a lot of that lately with the big issue of religious liberty and the big issue of redefining marriage. In an unlikely place, the wedding industry, there's been a lot of coverage of people who are bakers, who are photographers, who are wedding venue owners, who are finding themselves threatened in their religious liberty by the changing definition of marriage. Joining us to talk about that media coverage of same-sex marriage and religious liberty, Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Where did you first start recently tracking the confluence of these two ideas, the redefinition of marriage, same-sex marriage debate, and religious liberty in the press?
I think the first major story I came across was probably in October, so maybe four months or so ago. The Wall Street Journal had a story where they were reporting on wedding professionals in at least six states had run into state anti-discrimination laws, such as, you know, someone baking a wedding cake and raising religious concerns about doing so for a same-sex wedding, or a photographer not wanting to take a gig with a same-sex wedding, or you know, even a florist not wanting to be involved with that. Those kind of examples.
How you've been tracking this coverage as it has been kind of finding its way into various outlets. What are your major concerns about how the issue of wedding professionals, religious liberty, religious exemption, so to speak, is being covered?
Well, I think there's been some good coverage, and then there's been some bad coverage, and I guess that, you know, we see that on a lot of subjects, but my concern is probably a lot of the reports that I've seen don't really give readers enough information to understand why this is an issue or what the core issues are. You know, in some cases, I'm thinking of a report I saw on Yahoo News where it's basically, how dare somebody, you know, they even called it a so-called religious exemption and pretty much made it sound like, you know, these are just bigots and they have a problem with homosexuals, so they're raising some kind of a smokescreen as opposed to having reporting that would actually talk to people and understand kind of the tensions involved as far as their religious beliefs versus some of these new laws that are coming into place related to same-sex weddings.
So when you read something like, just two little words, so-called, when you read something like that in hard reporting, what does it tell you?
Well, it tells me, and, you know, I'm sure there would be circumstances where it wouldn't come across as an opinionated word, and maybe you would need so-called to explain. But, you know, in a typical context, it tells me this is the reporter saying this is what they call it, but I don't really believe it, so here's, you know, it's a so-called religious liberty exemption, but, you know, I'm not buying it. You know, a lot of times, you know, in other cases, you won't have the so-called, they'll just put, you know, they'll put religious liberty exemption in what we at Get Religion refer to as scare quotes, just kind of, I guess, to let the readers know that this is what they're calling it, but you know, be real leery because we're not sure this is what's actually going on.
So how have the stories unfolded? Can you give us some examples of how this seems to be headed? What can we expect in the future in terms of where these stories about, you know, wedding professionals are going to end up?
Yeah, I think this is an issue that's been building for quite a while. I was thinking back, I had done a story for Christianity Today back in 2011, so almost 3 years ago, and the headline on that was Should the Marriage Battleground Shift to Religious Freedom? And the basic issue that I addressed in that story was the question that some evangelicals who oppose same-sex marriage on a religious basis were starting to say that the societal tide is shifting, and should we keep fighting a losing battle, or should we switch gears and start fighting to protect ourselves, to be able to have our own religious freedom and to be able to protect people who do have religious concerns about some of these things from being fined or the law attempting to force people to do something against their religious conscience. So, you know, that's 3 years ago. But, you know, in more recent coverage, the first story I came across was a Reuters story about kind of a debate in Oregon about whether or not their same-sex law should include religious exemptions for people like the wedding photographer or the florist or that sort of thing. You know, and more recently, there was a big discussion in the last week or so in Kansas where the state house passed a law that was aimed at providing religious exemption in case a court declares there, you know, they have a law there that same-sex marriage is illegal, but I guess seeing places like Utah and Oklahoma where judges have come in and ruled those laws unconstitutional, there was an effort, I guess, to make a preemptive strike and say if a judge does rule that it is constitutional, let's put some protections in place. So that's been the most recent coverage, and I think maybe yesterday that the state Senate said we're not going to go along with that bill. We're going to have some hearings on religious liberty. So it sounds like that's something that in Kansas, at least, and as well as other states, is going to remain in the headlines and keep being something that is going to demand a lot of news coverage.
You say in that Kansas story, the Wichita Eagle, if I'm not mistaken, you say that the journalists there seem to grasp the concept of nuance. What do you mean by that?
Well, it was one of those stories. A lot of, you know, the national coverage you'll read on some of these issues, they revert to kind of the talking points that you might see on Fox or MSNBC, and everybody's at the extreme, and, you know, you've got on the right, you've got people, they're trying to kill all our religious freedom, and on the left, these, you know, we're just trying to keep people from being discriminated against. When you get into some of the nitty-gritty of these issues, a lot of times it is more complicated than that, and you may, if you have five politicians in a room, you may have five different perspectives of which way this should go. And, you know, it's not all black and white. And I felt like the Wichita Eagle story kind of just reported, you know, interviewed different people, reported the facts. And it wasn't one of those where it was cut and dried. It was one of those where you had to scratch your head and say, this is kind of complicated. And you even had, you know, some politicians who were on record as we need these religious exemptions, others saying this is just an effort to, you know, to discriminate against people. And you have other politicians who maybe are facing some upcoming elections who are trying to kind of say, you know, please don't try to pin me down on this. I don't want to take a position either way because, you know, it's a no-win kind of situation. So, I mean, I just felt like the local reporting in that story was more real than some of the talking points kind of stratified reporting that you might see in some of the national press.
Does that speak in favor in your mind as a journalist, Bobby, of the ongoing value of that local reporting, where very often the reporter is speaking face-to-face or on the phone with particular individuals who are actually involved in the story itself, not just people opining, but people who have skin in the game, so to speak?
Yeah, I think so. And also they're writing for people who are going to be reading it. So, you know, it's a lot easier you know, and I'm overly generalizing myself here, but it's a lot easier for a national, you know, the New York Times or the Washington Post or somebody to write a story and make Kansas sound like a bunch of hicks. But when that's your audience and you're writing for them, there's a little more onus on you, I guess, to try to really report what's going on and reflect what's being said. And, you know, it's harder to stereotype people when they're the ones that are going to be reading what you're writing, if that makes sense.
Finally, just a couple minutes here, Bobby, just what are the basic questions that every one of these stories that deals with the religion angle in terms of religious liberty and gay marriage, what are the basic questions the reporters need to ask and have answered every time?
I think they need to just get the specifics of what does the law say, or what does this bill propose, or what has the judge said related to the legality of same-sex marriage in this state? And then secondly, what protections are in place, if any, for people who might claim they disagree with that law based on their religious beliefs? And, you know, I think it would help a lot of these stories if they would actually go talk to some real people. A lot of times, you know, we're hearing from the same talking heads with, you know, either big legal advocacy groups or people who have a stake in the fight, as opposed to maybe calling up a wedding photographer and saying, where do you stand on this? You're an evangelical Christian. My understanding is your church doesn't believe in same-sex weddings. Would you, as a wedding photographer, have a problem if the government said you had to go photograph a wedding of a same-sex couple? Would you do it, or would you feel uncomfortable doing that? I think that would bring a little reality to the process.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications. From the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for having me.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 19th, 40 years ago today, the Student Association at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, upset by something that the Board of Control of that seminary had done, which was suspended and terminated a majority of the faculty there under charges of false doctrine, decided after a long moratorium against classes that they would conduct a funeral for that seminary. They planted crosses, they walked out, and... well, 40 years ago, that is viewed as one of the seminal events in the life of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll find out what it's all about with Dr. Carl Barth, one of the last living members of a fact-finding committee related to that event, right after this. Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at IssuesETC.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the Stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues, Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175? Or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link. Comfort, comfort on the Issues, Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.